You're listening to Out of Bounds with Daily Bruins Sports here on UCLAradio.com. Daily Bruins Sports is your ultimate source for UCLA athletics, and Out of Bounds provides you with an in-depth look at the UCLA sports scene like nobody else can. Here are your hosts, Andrew Erickson and Kevin Bowman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Out of Bounds with Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLAradio.com. I am Daily Bruin Sports Senior Staffer Andrew Erickson.
And I am Daily Bruin Sports Editor Kevin Bowman.
For those of you just tuning in to UCLAradio.com, that was It's a Secret by Dark, 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 according to the iTunes screen I have in front of me. So a really, you know, bright, cheerful way to start up the show. Dark, Dark, Dark. you haven't heard of them before, so... Yeah, very bright, sprightly band they got there.
It's so. A Sorrow is the name of the song.
of the next song. So, yeah, no, okay. So anyway, we got a lot of exciting things to talk about, including the fact that I'm no longer tired, thanks to the folks at Kirkhoff Coffee House, because I was dragging a little bit coming into the office today, and got some coffee, and now I'm chipper. Now I'm feeling good. So.
Yeah, I thought you were dead when you came in.
Okay.
It was just like... blank eyes,
yeah,
drool.
Yeah, but now, you know, we're here to talk about UCLA athletics, little basketball. But first, House of Cards. We won't spoil anything, but for those of you watching on Netflix, I suggest you keep the train rolling.
This coming from the guy who's seen 3 episodes. You have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, I've seen all 14 or 13, however many it is.
All right, well, I suggest...
get on my level.
Okay, well...
of antisocialness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll use the Netflix account later. But for now, we're going to talk a little UCLA basketball. And this week, we will talk about a little UCLA sports, including the eventful weekend for UCLA baseball, who just opened up their season. and in addition to UCLA's most recent homestand against Utah and Colorado, we'll also preview the upcoming series in the Bay against Cal and Stanford. So, very exciting stuff.
Fun stuff,
exciting stuff we got.
Stick around.
First, we'll get into a little You Better Be Right. I know we forgot our pick last week, but we're not going to let it happen again this week. On the agenda to talk about is the UCLA Road Series at Cal and Stanford. And Kevin will be there for the first game, and I will come up to join him for the second game. Darn those Wednesday mandatory classes. Really, like, you plan your schedule... thinking, you know, all right, I'm just going to have class Monday through Wednesday and just, you know, get that done. Then I'll be able to travel every Thursday game. But no, there has to be that one Wednesday game on the schedule. So
it's terrible.
Yeah, you know.
So luckily, my Wednesday class, I'm able to reschedule or sit in on a different discussion. So,
well, that's excellent. And then just the next 3 days, just forget about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So good for you. But yeah, so I'd like to hear from you, and you can have the first pick on this one since you've been the you know, weekly loser here. How many games will UCLA win of these two games?
So what I'm going to say, I don't actually believe, and I'm going to say it. I don't really know what I think. I don't know. I'm going to say they win both. I'm not sure. I'm very unconfident in that.
I'm at
1% confidence.
Okay.
But they've been playing really well lately. If they can play for two halves, which has been the issue, they kind of had like 3/4 of the game in the most recent one. So they're getting closer. I know Cal's a very tough place to play, and they had some struggles there last year, and they kind of let Cal back in the game in the last game against them at Pauley Pavilion this year. And, I mean, Cal's on a roll. They just beat Arizona a few games ago at home. Justin Cobb's been playing really well. So it's going to be tough. I don't think Stanford's going to be an issue at all on Saturday, but I think if they get past Cal, which I'm going to say they do just because they've been on a roll, Jordan Adams is playing better, and the Ware has been playing better. I don't know. We'll see. I'll probably be doing something embarrassing next week.
I think the Ware has been playing better. I think just Travis Ware. So,
well, David was decent. He didn't get a lot of points, but like he shot an efficient percentage.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. Maybe, I have low standards.
agree to disagree on that. But I think UCLA needs to watch out for the Bears because they'll get you. And if they end up beating Cal, which, you know, is very plausible, we're talking about the number 2 team in the Pac-12 at this point. They've won some tough road games, including the win at Oregon, who... shockingly is, you know, I think, what, 3-8, 4-8 now? And they could be right up at the top. Yeah, they're 4-8 right now, but they've lost, I think, 3 or 4 games by 2 points. So you're talking about a team that could be right up there in the thick of things, and instead they're fighting to even be mentioned on the bubble. I don't even think they're on the bubble. And that's a situation that UCLA could be in, but that's beside the point. I think Cal is probably the toughest road environment in the conference. Haas is an extremely tough place to play. Okay, maybe the McHale Center is a little bit more where Arizona plays. But I think that you're talking about a team that took Arizona down to the wire, beat Arizona, has only lost, I think, two home games in Pac-12 play against Stanford. That was actually a really bad loss. as well as Arizona State, who is probably the third best team in the conference now. So, you know, I think that's a game that UCLA, especially being a team that doesn't play that well on the road, could lose. So I'm going to say they go 1-1.
All right. It'll be an interesting weekend, though. I mean, really, if they can get through this, I kind of feel like they're in the clear, in a sense, at least from the Bay Area.
It's a big if, Kevin.
They'll have four games left. They'll be three ahead of Cal. So really, then it's just ASU that they have to watch. So.
But we will get back into a little UCLA men's basketball discussion. But first, we will go into the world-famous Westwood Week in Review. They're talking about it in Sochi. They're like, you know, we really like that Bob Costas Olympic coverage. I'm glad his eye feels better. But we really want the Westwood Week in Review. That's what we're here for. That's what we're tuning in to NBC for.
And we're giving it to him.
That's what the folks want. We're giving it to him. Softball continued its strong start to the season, sweeping the competition at the Stacey Winsberg Memorial Tournament, including an extra innings walk-off win over Robert Morris on Friday. Robert Morris, I believe they're in Pittsburgh, located in Pittsburgh.
Maybe?
Yeah.
No clue. Baseball also played. They began its national title, or their national title defense, with a loss to Portland on Friday, which kind of shocking. Portland's not very good.
Pilots.
Yeah. If your team name is the Pilot, I mean, that's not a very awesome name. Anyways, they bounced back with two consecutive wins, and then Saturday and Sunday, the Bruins won 12-1 on Saturday and 4-3 on Sunday, but it took them 11 innings to do it. Catcher Shane Ziel got a walk-off double, single? I don't know. He got some walk-off hit in the 11th inning. They won, stormed the field. It's kind of a little early, I think, to be storming the field, especially against a team named the Pilots.
That's like rushing the court after beating Cal State Northridge. Like, you just don't do that, you know? You wait until later in the season. All right. You're not quite in Omaha yet. In its final regular season meet, Swim and Dive lost to USC 165-135 on Friday. Or today. Today?
Today.
Oh, wow. The meet was today. And they lost.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, okay. I don't know what it is with Swim and Dive. Do you think it's maybe the appeal of having, like, two major programs? I mean, I remember back in the 80s, I wasn't alive back in the 80s, but when I used to swim as a kid, there was this guy, Brian Goodell, who was an Olympian, and he actually swam at UCLA and was a major part of, I think, a team that won the national title back in the 80s, or at least contended for it. I don't know. I just think, like, the Cals and the Stanfords, you know, schools that, I don't know. It seems like they advertise their swim programs, but I don't know how you fix it. But it seems like, you know, with a beautiful aquatic center, you're in Los Angeles, that there should be more appeal to UCLA women swim and dive.
Yeah, no, I know Missy Franklin swims at Cal. I feel like if I was swimming, I wouldn't want to do it. Like, Berkeley's a little bit cold. I feel like I'd rather be somewhere where it's kind of hot, so it's like feels good to be in the water, not like freezing. I don't know.
But again, it's my, you know, two cents. What have you done for me lately? And Cal's won a national title lately, so.
Well, it helps me have an Olympian on your team. Moving on, it's a vicious cycle. Despite earning a lower score than last week, the gymnastics is 196.675 to 195.650. Win over Washington was considered a better performance by Coach Valerie Kondos Field. So apparently, I don't know, their goal has been the 197, which they just can't seem to beat. But uh-huh. Like, I guess she said that she thought that this performance this weekend was worthy of a 197, even if the judges didn't. So that's all that counts.
So those extra .325 she was very disappointed about. So hopefully for Coach Field, they figure that out. Men's tennis had two wins and a loss over the weekend, defeating Pepperdine 4-0 and Oklahoma 4-2 before losing to USC 4-3. USC is kind of the team that they go at it with every year. I know they're always right atop the rankings, usually 1-2, but we'll see.
And men's volleyball lost to Long Beach State 3-1 on Wednesday, but they bounced back on Friday with a new starting lineup, with a couple freshmen in there, to win 3-0 over Cal State Northridge.
Okay. And women's basketball is still going on. We're kind of isolated.
I think they finished.
Okay. Well, we're
by the time we wrote the script / like compiled all this information, the game was still going on. But they're beating Oregon by like 15, and there's 3 minutes left.
Okay. So
we can assume they won.
We're assuming they won in our isolated little radio office chamber we have in here. You're gonna assume that. You're gonna call.
If they lost, this is gonna be terrible.
Yeah. Or I'm gonna call you out next week.
Okay.
All right, men's basketball, as we talked about a little bit, beat Colorado 92-74 on, I believe it was on Thursday, Kevin.
So. Did I write Wednesday?
Yeah, you did write Wednesday.
No, pretty sure I wrote Thursday.
And no, you didn't. And avenged its previous loss to Utah, defeating the Utes 80-66 on Saturday. So now there's really just, well, two teams, I guess, to avenge their loss against. But, in Arizona, who they won't have a chance to play at least until the Pac-12 tournament, in addition to Oregon State, who they'll get in a couple weeks. But it was a really strong home slate, again, for UCLA. The last against Cal and Stanford was a really strong one, and it seems like UCLA kind of has the hang of things at home. They shoot well, the tempo's good, they come out of the half well, and it's almost like they have things figured out, and I think the 13-1 record or 14-1 record, whatever it might be at home, is certainly a testament to that.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like everything just goes right for them, even if they're not playing all that well themselves. Like, they still seem to be having, like, a solid lead the whole time they're there. That same thing kind of doesn't feel the same when they're able to play the same. They'll still have, like, kind of kind of slow first halves, but then they'll be able to bounce back at home. But on the road, they do the same thing, and they just end up kind of struggling to hold everything together. So, I don't know, it's been I think Alfred was talking the other day about protecting Pauly and how well the team has done about that, or done with that. And I guess it's true. You don't really think of it as a great, like, home court just because the crowd's kind of lacking a bit. But, I mean, it's worked out pretty well for them so far.
I think your pronunciation of
lackadaisical
was
lax or lack?
Like Zach Levine's laxical-daisical was what he said. So he said that after the Utah game. But, yeah, I think we're talking about a team that, you know, like I said, has found a way to come out of the half strong after kind of lackluster first halves, and that was certainly the case on Thursday against Colorado. I think they were trailing by 3-4 at the half because Josh Scott had that dunk at the buzzer,
mm-hmm.
and managed to come out and shoot the lights out in the second half. I mean, and that seems to have been a trend, but it's not something they're really able to do on the road so well, like at Oregon State or at Utah the first time. And in a March Madness situation where you're talking about maybe, and I think we can probably assume that UCLA going on the course they're going on now will be about a 6 or 7 seed. If you're a 6 or 7 seed in the second round, you're playing a team that essentially has a home environment, and you're playing against fans who do not want you to win. So that's something that they're going to have to figure out in the next few weeks here. Otherwise, it'll be a short exit from the big dance.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of been an issue that they can't, the whole first half, second half thing, that they haven't been overly concerned about it, by the way, what it sounds like. They'll be like, yeah, I mean, we're just playing so well in the second half that, like, it doesn't matter that we start slow. But, like,
well, I don't know about that. I mean,
that's kind of, I don't know, that's being liberal with their paraphrasing. But, like, Alfred said it's, like, a bit of a concern, but, like, I think they're not as concerned as they should be, just because if you're playing against teams that are, I mean, the Pac-12 isn't terrific this year. And like a lot of the opponents they're playing aren't great opponents, but like if you're losing to USC at halftime, like imagine if USC actually was a good team. That's not going to be something you're able to make up easily in the second half. So that's something I think it's great that they're having great second halves, but the fact that they can't come out consistently with that energy from the beginning is really going to cause them problems once they start playing actual opponents that are competitive and good.
And to be you know, perfectly fair, I think USC's done that. That's kind of been the knock on USC is, wow, they're a great first half team, but there's zero substance once any sort of ball movement happens on them in the second half. So I think that might have been the case with UCLA. But you're absolutely right. You know, if you're going up against a team like that and you want to be considered a Pac-12 elite team, then those are the kind of wins you have to just dominate from start to finish. And they didn't really do that. But a big part of their adjustments have been defensive. And in the case of Thursday, in the case of Saturday, it was stopping big man Jordan Loveridge, as well as DeLon Wright of Utah. I think Loveridge had about 4 points, and Wright had maybe 4 points at the half.
Wright had a good second half.
Wright had a decent second half. But they really held those guys in check throughout most of the game, and those were guys who killed them in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that certainly was a good adjustment and a promising sign for them. Kyle Anderson, again, led the charge for UCLA, and Travis Ware was a perfect 6 for 6 from the field. I believe that was on Thursday. And in the second game, Jordan Adams was unbelievable. He made 10 field goals for just the second time this season. I think the first came in, did he have a...
He had a 30-point game against Morehead State, I think.
Against Morehead State, very early on in the season.
That was Anderson's triple-double game.
Right, back in November. So Kyle Anderson kind of went under the radar with that triple-double, yeah. I remember. But yeah. And Jordan Adams also on on Saturday, scored his last basket with roughly 10 minutes to go in the game. Could have been a career night for him, really. And, you know, what was it? Was it the best game he's had in his career? I mean, from your analysis, I mean, for my take, I think it was, just because he's had such a downturn recently, and then to come out and make, you know, 10 of your first 12 field goals or whatever it was, I mean, that's a pretty big step forward, especially since a lot of those were jump shots.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had a great game. I would not say that it was his best performance of his career. I would say his career-high 30-point game was probably his best performance, because that's his career high.
It's not
high.
About the numbers, Kevin.
I mean, if you're talking about a career night, it has to be his career high. I don't know how you can argue against that. I don't know what his percentages were from that game. I'd imagine they were also pretty decent. But I know he did only get to the line once, I think, against Utah, which, I mean, he was making a lot of jump shots. He didn't really have a need to drive a ton. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, he stopped shooting at the 10-minute mark. If he kept on shooting, I'm sure he probably would have beaten that, because he was not slowing down at all. But he didn't, so can't say it's his best game.
Well, yeah, I mean, the good thing for him is that on Thursday, I think he was 0 for 5 from deep, scored. He was in the double digits, I know that. But, you know, this game he just comes out right away and starts scoring. And that's a problem he's had, even in... Well, okay, I retract my statement. I think his best game of the season was the Oregon game, where he kind of willed them to that victory. I think he scored 19 points.
So you're going from best game of his career to not even the best
on.
Of his season?
Hold on.
What's going
Hold on
here? Okay.
And I think it was his best win for the team, or his best game for the team, was that Oregon game. That was a couple weeks ago. Because, you know, he willed them to the finish in that one. But he didn't really do anything before the half. I think, you know, he really struggled to start. And I think he scored 14 of his 19 points after the half. So it brings up an important question, is what does UCLA have to do early on in the game to get him involved? Do you have to get him the ball? Do you have to tell him to keep shooting? Do you have to set more picks for him? I mean, how do you key in on getting Jordan Adams to be successful? Because to me, it seems like that's a big proponent of their own success as a team, is getting Jordan Adams and his shot, you know, effective, because it seems to be contagious for the rest of the team. That's actually something that Steve Alford talked about today during media play.
On a Saturday, Jordan kind of got going with the scoring early and often. Is the key kind of getting him facilitated early on, getting him the ball early on in games?
Well, he's working hard. There's going to be, you know, games where he gets it going like that, just because he's such a good scorer. But, you know, once we you have a game where they all start doing it. You know, when we got a lot of guys that can score, a lot of guys that can shoot it. I think we've got all eight guys right now in the rotation that are 7 points or higher in average. So that's a lot of guys that can score the basketball. So, you know, hopefully Jordan knows that there's not that intense pressure to score. But obviously when he does and he scores at the level and at the rate, the success rate that he had in that game, it really opens up a lot of things for everybody else. And I thought he moved without the ball very well. I thought we screened better in this game. And we got him to the ball at the right times to make the plays. And then to his credit, he made shots.
It almost sounded like when Steve Alford was talking there that it was like the old W quote, like, it's hard work. He's working Saturdays and working overtime. You know, Jordan Adams is one of the greatest players I've ever seen in this UCLA program. You know what I mean? It just sounded like it was just like, yeah, he's working hard. Like, he's getting after it. But, yeah, just kind of got off on a sidetrack right there. But, yeah, he's right. I guess it's just kind of a getting hot early thing for him. I don't know. I don't know if it's his own doing. I really think if, you know, just get him the ball more early. And if he has a really, really bad start, then, you know, maybe not to go to him the rest of the half. So I say give him like 4 shots in the first 5 minutes and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they need to do anything. Like Alfred has been talking a lot about making sure, like, Adams is moving more and mm-hmm. getting more screens to go off and stuff. And I don't feel like that's really been the problem. He's gotten a lot of open looks lately, even when he was slumping, but, like, he just wasn't making the shots. So I feel like they don't need to change their strategy at all. Like, he's getting the open looks. They don't need to force feed him the ball more. It's just whether or not he's making shots, and that's all on him, and they can't really do anything differently. I mean, if he's not making them, it's better just maybe go through Kyle Anderson and let him facilitate things rather than Adams. But I don't think you need to force feed him the ball at the beginning, because it's going to happen kind of on its own, I think.
And as we've talked about, Utah's defense kind of lended itself well to that movement of Adams. They kind of give up more player-to-player space and allow more individual player movement for covering larger ground, I guess you could say, especially inside the paint. So, yeah, it certainly worked for Jordan Adams. But another guy that really had has been, I guess, the key to UCLA's success and really has all season and should be a pro by the end of next year, is Kyle Anderson, who quietly had two double-doubles again in this Thursday-Saturday slate. I think it was his 22nd career double-double on Saturday.
Like, what, 13th of the season or 14th of the season, somewhere around there.
Exactly. And it's almost like he knows what shots to take now. He doesn't have to create his own shot. And he has, well, I guess the offense is more tailored to him now. I don't know. Maybe was the departure of Larry Drew kind of the best thing that could have happened to him as a point guard and as a player? I mean, is that what you take from it?
I think so. I mean, last year he was kind of, the role he had was completely different. Like, we were just talking this before,
right?
That Larry Drew was last year what Kyle Anderson is this year, and last year Kyle Anderson basically had the Bryce Alford role, except kind of to a smaller extent, where he would kind of be able to do his natural thing and be a point guard for 5 minutes of the game. But I mean, he has the body of a power forward and he can rebound really well, so I can understand why Howland wanted him in that role and have him just be like a good passing four. But I mean, you have to kind of look at Kyle Anderson and just disregard and ignore all the size and all that, because that's not the player he is. He's not a post player. You've seen him in the post this year.
Yeah,
you can tell that
their offense really struggled whenever
he is not comfortable in the post.
I always think that whenever you have Bryce running the point, Kyle Anderson needs to be out of the game. I mean, and that's kind of what they do, but there are some instances where Bryce Alford's running the point and then Kyle Anderson plays this little post game and it just completely slows.
I mean, that's not he's down. I think they'd be better suited having the Wares in there instead of Anderson, because
right.
If Kyle doesn't have the ball in his hands, he's really not that effective of a player.
Exactly.
And really, I think you mentioned how crucial he's been this year. I think lately, like, it had been a knock, his nickname Slow-Mo, that like, oh, he's not fast and whatever, but I feel like a lot more lately I've been seeing it more as like his patience is really showing that, like, he's not trying to force these shots. Like last year, he's kind of just taking what he has and he's shooting a much better percentage, and I don't know, that's just my take.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the numbers kind mm-hmm. of speak for themselves. He's having a you wasn't with me shooting in the gym season, as they say. He shot 21.1% from 3-point range last season and is now 52.4%. And I think he's taken, let me see here, he's taken about the same number, he's taken four more threes at this point in the season than he did all of last season. So it's just about, I think you're right, about taking the right kind of shots. And I think from, you know, the people I've talked to and certainly hearing from Kyle himself, that's something that he emphasized, you know, in the offseason. He shot a lot of basketballs. Mm-hmm. And I think his finger healed a little bit, so Kyle actually talked to us about that.
Shooting-wise, I mean, you've improved mid-range, three-point, kind of the whole... I mean, how much time were you spending this offseason, like average per day? How long were you spending in the gym shooting?
A lot of time. You know, I feel like, you know, after last year, I had to get back to the basics. I've never been a bad shooter or a poor shooter. You know, my freshman year shooting is not a resemblance on how I shoot the ball. I've always been a very good shooter. But I think, you know, freshman year with my thumb, that really messed me up with the offseason, not getting repetitions in. And so I think that messed me up. So I think I got back to the basics this summer and, you know, been a good shooter my whole life.
I think you guys have had six players who have scored 20 or more points in a single game. How does it make it a little bit easier on you to be able to facilitate in some games as opposed to having to be the guy to score?
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, you come out to games and you see some, you know, particular people are hot. So, you know, if Zach's hot this night, you know, you look for him, it makes the defense, you know, creep to him, and then you can find Joe. You know, we have so many weapons that, you know, anybody could get 20 for us on any night.
When did you injure your thumb last year?
I actually did it in the state championship game of my senior year of high school, but I played in the three All-American games after, and it really messed it up even worse. So I had to get surgery coming into my freshman summer, and I wasn't able to play basketball till like August. So.
Yeah, and Kyle went on to talk about kind of how important it will be to facilitate some of the other players, especially against a team that might key in on him, like Cal or Stanford. And that's a crucial road series I have coming up. Last season, it didn't go so well for the Bruins. They kind of had to sneak out a win at Stanford and lost very badly to Cal. And it was almost a disaster for Arizona earlier this season. They, you know, went down to the wire with Stanford, had to sink a three kind of close to the buzzer, and lost to Cal on that last-second jump shot by Cobb. So, you know, I think it's something that UCLA definitely has to focus on, especially because these are the teams that are directly trailing them. And if you beat these teams... You know, being in the top four by the end of the season is going to be no problem. I think, you know, they'll probably take care of Oregon and Oregon State at home, and then the Washingtons, that's probably the easiest road trip they're going to have this season. So this is, I think, the most critical, you know, two games they're going to have this season. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about how difficult it is to play at Cal, and you mentioned how, I mean, Cal's one game back of UCLA right now,
right.
And not only is it difficult to play there, but they're going to be gunning for UCLA as well, because this is their one chance to make up ground, their last chance to directly have control over making up ground over that. So it's not going to be an easy game at all. It's different for UCLA too, playing the Wednesday game. They haven't had that. Have they had that at all yet this year?
I think they did.
Maybe at home.
They might have. I'm not actually sure, but I know it's the three game separation. I think that will play a bigger factor. So whatever happens in the Cal game happens, but I think that it's going to have a bigger impact on the Stanford game. They're going to need to not come out lethargic, because that's exactly what happened in the case of the Oregons.
Yeah,
where they got that big emotional win, and then it kind of wore off, and they were really, really flat against Oregon State. So I think that that's something they have to avoid and maybe learn from their past mistakes. But, Kevin, real quick, I want to hear your final prediction for UCLA's regular season Pac-12 seeding. What seed will they be in the tournament?
What seed will they be in the Pac-12 tournament?
Yeah.
I'm going to say number two.
You're going to say number two. So you think Arizona figures things out and finishes in number one in the conference?
I think yes, and I also think UCLA is going to drop one more at some point in the rest of the season. I know I said that they're going to win these two, but I'm kind of contradicting that. I think they're going to go 5-1 the rest of the way, and Arizona is going to find a way to not drop two.
Well, I agree with you, and I don't know whether Arizona State is going to lose another game or not, but I agree with you that they're going to go 5-1. I think that they won't lose a game of that last four. I think they're just far better than those teams. But yeah, just again, I think this stretch right here is very critical for them, especially in terms of a Pac-12 seeding thing, because fifth place is only two games away at this point. Not that Colorado would necessarily be making a charge late in the season, but you never know. Crazier things have happened, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I guess I think baseball is playing Cal Poly. That's all I know.
All right. Well,
I'm sorry.
Look for that. Look for that series against the Mustangs. Thank you so much, Bianca Broges, for making the trip here and coming in on a day off. And that is all for us with Out of Bounds at Daily Bruin Sports here on UCLAradio.com. We will see you next week.